to Season 5 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Thoughts are spiritual events, and they set the direction and determine the destiny of your life. So put on your thinking cap, because this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast is all about thinking, logic, discernment, and being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in today to the Food for Your Soul podcast. This season is all about logic. We're going to talk about a very basic syllogism today. Today and tomorrow are somewhat technical. Don't get scared off by that. It's going to get real practical as we go, but I just want to introduce some of the formal aspect of it, and then we'll teach it in a more informal way. I also want to ask you to stick around to the end. At the very end, I'm going to give some updated examples. You probably notice when I give illustrations from current events in this class, they're a bit out of date because I taught the class in 2001, so it was 20 years ago. So if you hang on till the end, each time I'll give some examples, some more up-to-date examples from current events today. All right, so let's jump in.
This is true, or that's true. If this is true, you have to draw this conclusion. The only other option is for that to be true and draw that conclusion. So therefore, we're left with either this conclusion or that conclusion. No other option. That's the dilemma. If we were to write it out, it would be this. If A, then B. If non-A, then something else. C. Therefore, either B has to be the case or C has to be the case. So, if A, then B. If non-A, then C. So, either B or C. The only two options. This can be a very, very powerful form of argument. And you've heard it before. If Jesus' claims are true, then what? He's God. And the only other option is non-A. They're not true. There's not some other option. If they're not true, then, you know, he's a nutcase or something. Liar, lunatic, whatever. Therefore, you either have to believe that Jesus is God or a complete nut. And we use this argument for what purpose? To rule out these people's view that Jesus was a wonderful teacher but not God. We use the dilemma argument to prove that Jesus has to be either God or a complete nut, can't be anything else. That's the dilemma. Like I say, it's a very powerful form of argument. And in fact, Jesus used it in Luke 20. And the Pharisees seem to be capable of it too, because they understand it in Luke 20. Luke 20 verse 3, Jesus replies, I will also ask you a question. They asked him a question, and he's going to ask them. Now, tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Well, they discussed it among themselves, and they realized the dilemma. If we say from heaven, that's A. If it's from heaven, people say, why didn't you obey? Because if he's from heaven, you should obey it. If not A, if he's not from heaven, then we're really afraid of that option, because we're going to end up getting stoned to death by the people because they think he's a prophet. Because if he's not from heaven, we have to call him a false prophet. So either we should obey him, or he's a false prophet. No middle ground. It's the only two possibilities. So, verse 7, they answered, we don't know. But that doesn't solve the problem. The fact remains that either he's, from heaven and should be obeyed, or he's a false prophet. Now, the fallacy that's possible with the dilemma is, the technical name for that is easy for you to remember, so I'll give it to you. It's called the false dilemma. A false dilemma is when there's more options. A salesman, just last week, Tracy and I listened to a sales presentation, and the salesman said, either you're going to walk away tonight and continue to spend more money than you should on vacations, or you're going to buy this vacation package and enjoy a lifetime of wonderful vacations. Now, that is a great illustration of a false dilemma, because there's more options than that. In fact, there's numerous things it leaves out. It doesn't cover the possibility that I can walk out without buying their package and not pay too much for vacations. And it doesn't cover the possibility that I could buy their plan and have terrible vacations. Right? Let me give you another example, a little more technical. And this is, a lot of atheists will use this, try and use this. They'll say either God's moral law, when God decreed his moral law, either that was just capricious and totally arbitrary, or he did it based on some standard that's higher than him. If God's moral law is based on nothing, then it's capricious and arbitrary. God is capricious and arbitrary. If it's not based on nothing, then if there's some standard above God that it's based on, therefore, God is not the highest standard. There's something higher than him. Therefore, either God is capricious and arbitrary, or he's got a standard up higher than him. Either way, he fails to meet the definition of God, and he's not God anymore. Where's the error? These aren't the only two possibilities. No standard here. No standard. Now, what is non-A? A standard, right. Now that, if they had said that, then that would have been valid, but they didn't say that. They didn't say if there's a standard. They said if there's a standard higher than God. And they left out a third possibility. What about this? It's not no standard, and it's not a standard higher than God. The standard is God's own character. Well, then, if God used his own character, that doesn't mean he's capricious, and it doesn't mean that his character is higher than him. It is him. So it's an invalid argument, because it doesn't just say A and non-A. It says A and then some specific part of non-A. And it leaves open a third possibility. So, a dilemma, in order for a dilemma to be valid, it has to cover absolutely every possibility. All right. Now that you've been introduced to those, we're done with formal fallacies.
The modern day examples I could give of false dilemmas are so numerous that it could go forever. It's one of the favorite logical fallacies of our day, because people in our day, they're not big on debate. They're real big on arguing, but not big on debate. They don't want to engage in the ideas of their opponent. They only want to shout them down with bumper sticker ideas. That's how we're trained by watching TV. You turn on the news, whatever your favorite cable news network is, you see some kind of supposed debate, some exchange, or presidential debates, and what you see, you don't see any classical debating, where somebody lays out a proposition, a set of reasons, and draws a conclusion, and then the other person understands that reasoning, but finds a flaw in either the premises or the logic. You just don't see that. Instead, the debates are a lot more like what you see in an elementary schoolyard. You're wrong. Am not. R2. Am not. R2. Am not. R2. And that's about as far as it goes. We want everything to be really simple, and so we boil everything down to two options. Either you believe this or you believe that. Either you're this or you're that. We don't want any complexity, because that requires too much thinking. And so we take issues where there are numerous possibilities, and we try to just make it two possibilities. So it's easier to handle. And generally, it comes down to either you agree with me, or you're a Nazi, fascist, racist, evil, whatever. And there's no middle ground. There's no other third option. I saw this just a few minutes ago. Somebody said, either you voted against Hillary or you agree with all of her policies and you're just as bad as she is. And I said, wait a minute, what about the third possibility? What if somebody voted for her but they were unaware of her policies, or they were unaware of the damage those policies do, or they didn't agree, or they had some other reason? And then he just came on and just repeated what he said the first time. That's about the level of debate you get nowadays. Either you're in favor of the protests going on right now and Black Lives Matter and all that, or you're a racist. And those are the only two possibilities. False dilemma. Either you're in favor of the lockdown and wearing masks and social distancing and all that, or you want to kill my grandma and you don't care about human life. Be very careful with setting up dilemmas. Now, so there are some things that are true dilemmas. There are many situations where there really are only two possibilities. Jesus said that. He said, either you come to heaven through me or you don't come to heaven. And those are the only two possibilities. So that can be the case. But whenever you set up a dilemma like that, either this or that, that's it, or you hear someone else set up a dilemma, think carefully about, is it possible that there could be some other option? Am I absolutely certain that every other option is ruled out? Or is it possible there could be another option? Okay, so now we're all done with the technical stuff, and in Monday's podcast, we can dive into the fun stuff. So I'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. We pray you're finding this season helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.